Now, I know before anybody reminds me that our Sunday school lesson came from the same passage of Scripture that we're in tonight. I know this is the same chapter that I preach from this morning. But sometimes, and I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I mean, I just wonder how many times I've read Luke chapter 2. And I wonder how many times you've read it. Many, many times. I wonder how many times we did like we did last week. We sat in a church auditorium in a school gymnasium, and we saw a play that reminded us that the angels visited the shepherds and proclaimed the Savior's birth to them on that hillside outside of Bethlehem. I wonder how many times we've sung the song, "While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground." And the angels came and told them about Jesus. Many, many times. I know that. But I just remind you tonight that even in the familiar passages of Scripture, there are blessed truths. Truths that don't come out the first time you read them, or the second time you read them, or the 100th time you read them. They're truths that come out as we go back and visit and revisit and revisit the Scripture that God opens up our understanding and teaches us those truths. So tonight, I find in the story of the shepherds a little formula that we can use over and over again in our Christian life. This little formula will help us grow. This little formula will help us mature as Christians. This little formula will help us trust God more. This little formula will help us to have more faith. You saw it in the bulletin. I want to speak tonight on the subject, hear, see, tell. Hear, see, tell. And I would submit to you that the doing of those three things brings peace, it brings about obedience, it brings about joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Bible speaks about. Now, to start out with tonight, I want you to notice how it worked with the shepherds. This little formula, hear, see, tell. They heard. If you still have your Bibles open, look to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds that night got a message from God. And that's how I want you to think about it. They got a message from the Heavenly Father. They got a message from the Creator. They got a message from God himself delivered in the form of an angel that said, hey, for unto you is born this night in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They heard. They heard. And then the Bible says that they saw, or they went to see. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. We read it a moment ago, and it came to pass, as angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They said, hey, we got this message from God. We got to go see. We want to see it for ourselves. And I want you to notice, they didn't have any doubt. They said, let's go see this thing which is come to pass. They didn't say, hey, we're going to go check it out and see if God's really telling us the truth. We're going to go see this thing which has happened because God has told us it had happened. And so they came with haste. And they found exactly what God said they were going to find, a little baby lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then they went out and they told in verses 17 and 18. And when they had seen abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Again, the Sunday school lesson this morning reminded us that shepherds were the lowest from an economic standpoint. They were sort of outcast of society. They did an important job in keeping the sheep, and their life was often in danger protecting the sheep. And yet, when these shepherds came into town, I believe it was in the middle of the night, and they saw what God told them they were going to see, they went out and they did not, it did not matter to them that they ran into a rich man. It did not matter to them that they ran into a ruler of the city. It did not matter to them who they interacted with. Whoever they ran into, they told. They said, hey, let's tell you something. We were out on the hills watching our sheep, and an angel came, an angel of God. And he said, fear not, I bring you good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we came and we found him, just like God said. And I think that's just how they said it. I don't think they went up and they said in their theological voices, oh, let us share with you what we heard tonight. They didn't go and talk in monotones. They were excited. They said, man, you won't believe what happened to us tonight. We got a visit from an angel. We got a message from God. And we came and saw, and it was just like God said. They heard. They saw. They told. Now, I want you to notice how that same little formula worked in your life when you got saved. Say, Brother Darrell, I don't think it... Oh, yeah, just listen for a minute. That little formula worked in every single person's life that got saved. First of all, you heard. Somebody told you, or you read in a tract, or you read it in the Bible, that you were a sinner. And there was a penalty for that sin. And that penalty was death or separation from God. And then somebody told you about the love of God. They said, God so loved you that he didn't want you to have to pay for your sins. And so he sent his son into the world. And he lived among us for 30-some years, and he lived a perfect life. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And one day, he went to a cross, and he died on the cross. And when he died on that cross, God the Father took every one of your sins and put them on his son. And when Jesus died, he died for your sins. You see, the Bible says, and Brother Bill quoted a moment ago when he prayed, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, when you got saved, you heard the gospel. You heard the good news. You heard about the birth and then the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You heard it. Maybe your grandma told you. Maybe your mom or your dad. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe a preacher. But somebody, somehow, you heard the gospel. And then you said this, I've got to see if it works for me. I got to see if it works for me. I heard what I think is the truth. And that measure of faith that God deals to every person takes over and it says, hey, why don't you try God out? Why don't you see if this salvation that somebody's told you about really works? Why don't you see if it will work in your life? And so you decided to see. You decided to trust God. You decided that you were going to see that if all the things that were told you were true, and you trusted Jesus, and he made all things new. He gave you a peace that passeth understanding. He gave you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then what'd you do? Huh? You don't need to tell me because I know what you did. You had to tell somebody. I enjoyed the story in the Sunday school lesson this morning about the author's wife having her first child 3:30 in the morning. And she wanted to start calling people 3:30 in the morning. She said to her husband, give me that phone. I want to call. And he said, you know, it's 3:30 in the morning. Why don't you wait till at least 6 o'clock? Why don't you wait a little bit? I mean, I don't know about you. When I got saved, I didn't want to wait. I want to tell somebody. My dad was working that night. As soon as I got home, I called my dad. I worked. Dad, I got saved tonight. My grandma, the one who stuck her bony finger in my face and told me I was going to hell if I didn't get saved, wasn't there that night. I called her second. I said, Grandma, you never guess what happened. I got saved tonight. I want to tell everybody. I didn't care who I woke up. I didn't care who it was. I wanted to tell everybody. And you were probably the same way. When you got saved, when you heard the gospel, and when you saw for yourself that it worked for you, you wanted to tell. You wanted to tell. Now, I could give you illustration after illustration in the Bible where it worked the same way. I'm going to give you a couple. In John chapter 1, Philip, who later became a disciple of Christ, was standing there, and John the Baptist pointed his finger at somebody and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Of course, we know it was Jesus that he was pointing to. And Philip and his buddy Andrew, they heard John the Baptist say that, and they started following Jesus. And Jesus noticed that they were following him, and he turned around and said, "What do you want?" I don't think they told him the truth when they gave him an answer. They said, "Hey, we just want to see where you live." I think what they really wanted to know is this: is John the Baptist telling the truth? Are you the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world? And Jesus said, "Come and see. Come on and see." And the Bible said they went home with him and they spent the day. And during that day, both of them, but I'm talking about Philip right now, Philip realized that what John the Baptist said was true. This is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, Philip findeth Nathanael, and he said this: "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." They heard. They went and saw for themselves and spent the day with Jesus. And after seeing him and talking to him, they went away knowing that he was the Messiah, knowing he was the Lamb of God. And Philip had to do something that comes so natural, something that each one of us had to do. He had to tell somebody. So he found Nathanael and said, "Nathanael, we found him. We found him. We found the one we've been waiting for." Flip over a few chapters in John chapter 4. There's Jesus was sitting on a well. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. A woman comes to draw water out of the well. And Jesus said, "Hey, would you give me a drink?" And she said, I will, but I don't know why you're asking me. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You Jews don't have anything to do with us Samaritans." And Jesus said, "Hey, you know, if you drink of this well, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again." And she said, "How are you going to get the water? The well is deep and you have nothing to draw with." And he said, "Hey, why don't you go call your husband?" And she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "You're right. You've been married 5 times. But the man you're living with is not your husband." And she said, "You must be a prophet." And she said this: "We've heard that when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things." And Jesus said, "Hey, the one who's talking to you is the Messiah." And that moment, the faith that God deals to every person, even the people in the New Testament, took hold of the words of Christ. And that lady went back into town and she said this: "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The Christ. She heard. She saw for herself, and then she went to tell. Now, so you see how it worked in the lives of the shepherds. You see how it worked in your life when you got saved. A couple examples: Philip, the woman at the well. And I would submit to you tonight, and I would ask you to consider tonight, that this little formula, hear, see, tell works in many areas of the Christian life. And for example, it works in every promise that God has made to us. Let me give you an example. Bill quoted the other night, and I'm still trying to decide if this is true or not. He said, this is the preacher's favorite verse. And I know I quote it a lot, but I don't know if it's my favorite or not, Brother Bill, but I'll say tonight it is. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Now, that's a promise from God. We hear that promise. You've heard it from me hundreds of times. You've heard it. You've read it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. So we hear it, and then we say, I'm going to see. I'm going to see if God will really keep that promise. I'm going to ask him for something. I'm going to call unto him, and I'm going to put him to the test. I want to see if God will really answer my prayers. And so we try it out. We pray, and we ask God for something, and God answers. He not only answers and sometimes the way we prescribe for him to answer, but he does beyond our expectations. He shows us great and mighty things that we didn't even think about. And then what do? We go out and we tell the next person we meet, hey, let me tell you about Jeremiah 33:3. Let me tell you that verse really works. Let me tell you how I asked God and I called out to God and God kept his promise. He showed me great and mighty things that I didn't even think about. We hear, we see, we tell. So, I have 3 points tonight. That was my introduction. I have 3 points tonight. Stay awake, Chantel. I'm almost done. No excuse. Just because you're pregnant, you can stay awake. All right. Number one. I'm going to like this because I'll have lots of stories to tell you. All right. Number one. Put yourself in a position to hear. Put yourself in a position to hear. Read your Bible. Come to Sunday school. Come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Come to prayer meeting. If you can, I know some of you work and you can't come. But every opportunity that you have, put yourself in a position to hear. And here's what I want you to do. Every time you come to this place, here's what I want you to pray. Lord, I came today. I came tonight because I want to hear from you. I know you've prepared a truth for me. And by the way, if you come with that expectation, if every time you come to this place, you come with the expectation, hey, I'm coming. God knew I was going to be here. He's prepared something just for me. I mean, yeah, he prepared something for Brother Sam and he prepared something for Brother Reg, but God knew that I was going to be here and he's prepared something for me. Let's not just come to church and say, oh, it's another service. It's my duty to be here. It's Sunday. No. When we come to this place, same thing. When we open this book in the morning, tomorrow afternoon, or tomorrow night, God, you've prepared something for me. There's a truth. There's a promise that you want me to see and notice and claim. Help me to see it. Help me not to leave this place until I get it. Help me not to close this book until I get it. I want to hear from you. We sing the song, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. And a few years ago, there was a song that came out. I liked the words. I didn't like the tune, but I liked the words. You can't stand on promises that you don't know. You can't stand on promises that you haven't heard. It says the same thing in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, where the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can a person get saved if he never hears the gospel? How can you claim a promise of God if you never heard it? So put yourself in a position to hear. Wait a minute, I can't read my writing. I don't know. I can't read what it says. I'm sure it's important, but I tell you the truth, I can't read what it says. Listen, I'll just make something up. It'll be good too. There are promises that God has for us that we haven't heard yet. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this, "I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly." It says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You listen, we have a God that not only wants to give us life, but abundant life. We have a God that has prepared for us things that our eye have not seen nor our ear heard. And listen, God does not dump all that goodness on us at one time. Just like he didn't give the Israelites the whole promised land at one time. He said, if I give it to you at one time, the animals and the weeds are going to overrun it. I'm going to give it to you a little bit at a time. As you grow as a people, I'm going to give you more and more of the land. In the same way, that's how God gives us his blessing. That's how God gives us his promises. He doesn't dump the whole barrel on us at one time. It would be like drinking out of a fire hose. He said, no, take a drink. Prove me out. See if I don't keep my promise, and then I'll give you another one. 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 So put yourself in a position to hear. Hear. Don't come to church and sit in a service like this and be thinking about what you got to do tomorrow or the next day or the next day. Why do you think I get loud? I'm trying to wake somebody up. I don't want you to miss. I don't want you. I could care less if you hear what I say. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit says. I want you to hear from God. I believe with all my heart he didn't bring us to a place like this and set in services like this without having something prepared for every single individual. Put yourself in a position to hear. Number two, put God to the test. See, put him to the test. And I know some of you might say, I can't do that to God. I won't do that to God. And I would tell you tonight, that's exactly what God wants us to do. And when we don't do it, he gets weary of us. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Let me read you some verses from Isaiah chapter 7. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Here was the prophet, came to this king, and he said, ask God a sign. You can ask it in the heavens. You can ask it in the depths of the oceans. You can ask it in the earth. And what the prophet was saying, ask big. Ask for God to prove that he's God. Ask him to do something that you don't think he can do. And here's what Ahaz says. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he, the prophet, said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Won't you trust him? Won't you put him to the test? Won't you see what he can do? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You won't ask for it, but God's going to give you one anyway. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Don't you tell me that we have a God whose arm is short. Don't you tell me that we have a God who can't do the impossible. I'm going to give you a sign. You didn't ask for one, but I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin is going to conceive, and she's going to bear a son, and his name is going to be Emmanuel, which means God with you. God with you. God invites us to test him. In Psalm 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And then that verse that's in the Bible that teaches a blessed truth, Malachi 3:10, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there won't be room enough to receive it." God says, test me. Test me. See if I won't do what I say I do. Then number three, tell others what God hath done. Tell others what God hath done. You know, that's exactly what testimonies are. Testimonies are the accounts of people that heard a promise of God, put them to the test, and then testify, you know what? God did exactly what he promised to do. In fact, he did more than I asked. He blessed me in ways that I couldn't conceive. You know, we ought to get to the point in our life where we hear and see, and we hear and see, and we hear and see, and we hear and see, that we come to that same point that Peter and John came to as described in Acts chapter 4. The Jewish council called them before him, and he gave them a command. And he said, "Thou shalt not speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." We don't want you to speak. We don't want you to teach in the name of Jesus. And here's what Peter and John said. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." You're going to have to judge. Maybe it's right for us to obey you. Maybe it's not. They said this, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." He said, hey, you can command us all you want. We can't help it. I mean, we've heard and we've seen and we've heard and we've seen and we've heard and we've seen. We can't help but talk about the things that God has done. Like the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20, he said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." That's what Jeremiah said. I'm not going to mention God anymore. I'm not going to speak in his name. I'm not going to tell others what he has done. But then listen to what Jeremiah said. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Jeremiah says, I can't hold it in. It's like a fire that has no vent. It's in my bones. It's got to come out. I've tried to hold it in, but I can't. I'm tired. I got to let it go. I got to tell others what God hath done. Simple little formula. Hear, see, tell. Now, let me take you back to the shepherds for just a minute. And I'm just about done. They heard from the angel. They went into Bethlehem to see. Then after they saw, they told. And I'm sure Brother Leonard talked about this in Sunday school this morning. And here's what happened. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them." You know, the same thing happened in our life. If we hear and we put God to the test and see, and then we tell, we can't help it. We'll spend our life glorifying and praising God for all the things that we've seen and we've heard. What a way to live. What a way to live. glorifying and praising God. You say, Brother Darrell, does that mean everything's going to be peaches and cream? No. No. But even in the tragedies of life, we will be able to glorify and praise God for all the things that we've heard and we've seen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple message that comes out of familiar...